Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, contributing editor and film critic for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me once again this week is Jason Harris, stand-up comedian and local filmmaker. And you have a show coming up at the Firefly.
Yes, for all you Vegas listeners, Paradise and Twain, Firefly, Tapas, T-A-P-A-S bar, and Bistro, not topless. Really cool. We're going to be you never know where the night's going to take you.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll get crazy. January 29th, 9 p.m. free show. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool. So check him out. And
Thanks.
Yeah. So let's start with The Wrestler opening this week, which is, seemingly a lock, I would think, for the Best Actor Oscar for Mickey Rourke, or at least a nomination for him. He plays Randy the Ram Robinson, a sort of washed up pro wrestler who gets one last chance at not really glory, but like a sort of rematch with his famous rival from the 80s. And he's trying to put his life back together. He's trying to reconnect with his daughter and strike up a relationship with a stripper played by Marissa Tomei, as well as deal with having a heart attack. And a lot of standard sort of, I think, relatively cliched, like sort of redemption story stuff going on in this movie, but all executed really well, I think. It's one of those things where the description may sound kind of tired, but the way it's put together by Darren Aronofsky, who's the director, and Mickey Rourke is really, I think, top notch.
I agree. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I would agree, we're not treading any new ground with the relationship of father who has a, daughter that he doesn't speak to and she doesn't love, she's not close with him, and stripper who's hard on the outside but has a heart of gold on
the
inside.
Yeah, the stripper with a heart of gold is a little much.
Mickey Rourke's going to get the nod, obviously, but yeah. I don't necessarily think he's a shoo-in to win the thing because
Sean Penn might.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
But I would think Marissa Tomei, to me, like, she was just knocked it out of the park.
She was very good. She's
probably going to win.
I think Penelope Cruz might take it for Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Or Kate Winslet for The Reader.
So. That is true, although she's totally not a supporting actress in that movie. But
it's a lead actress.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, no, The Wrestler, it's really good. It's really Darren Aronofsky totally reined in what he normally does, I think.
Right.
Told a small story.
Yeah.
And, it was great. I really liked the movie, and as someone who's watched a little professional wrestling,
Huge dedicated fan.
It's interesting, and that from everything that's been said, that's pretty accurate as far as what happens to a lot of wrestlers. They don't save any money,
right.
They can't give up the glory, and they go from performing in front of huge arenas to little bingo halls or whatnot, and it's tough to when your body runs out, what do you do with your life?
Right, right. And that, I think that's one of the things I liked about this movie too, is that it takes that area, that sport, whatever you want to call it, which a lot of people find just kind of silly and ridiculous, and it takes it seriously, and it shows not only like that toll that it takes on the people and how, it destroys a lot of their lives in a way, but I think it gives you a good sense of why they bother with it anyway, like the joy that they get out of it and the excitement of performing for the audience and, the athletic ability that goes into it and all that stuff. And I like movies like that to take sort of activities or areas or whatever that people tend not to have a lot of respect for and accord them that respect. And that, I think, was one of the best things, that even if the story beats are familiar, that the setting that they're taking place in is different. And that was exciting to me.
Yeah, I agree. And you said it pretty much, right online, that they treated the whole industry of professional wrestling, with respect. The movie wouldn't work if they were trying to make fun of the whole thing.
Absolutely not.
But Mickey Rourke is, what else needs to be said about him? He's really, He is really, like, the word that's always thrown out about him is he's really authentic.
Absolutely.
He really is authentic, you know? And there are scenes where there's a scene at the boardwalk in New Jersey.
Jason is from New Jersey.
Asbury Park, old Springsteen territory, you know? And it's him, and he's trying to reconnect with Evan Rachel Wood, who I think did a really good job considering she didn't have much to work with.
I felt like her character was probably the weakest part of the movie.
not because of her. She was really good.
But there's not a lot to work with.
Yeah, but there's the point that I was going for is there's that big speech there, you know, and even the speech feels a little heavy-handed, it like came out of nowhere, but he does it so well, you know what I mean? Like, and Mickey Rourke said, like, you know, and throughout interviews, he was basically – he looked at this movie as his last shot. This is his chance to make sure he doesn't become the character, and, like, you can feel that in his speeches and you know, in his performance, just how much the movie meant to him.
Yeah,
you know, I was really happy to see him win the Golden Globe, and hopefully, you know, he's such a good actor. Hopefully he kind of...
Yeah, I think it would be great to see him win an Oscar, and he really does. I mean, he becomes the character in the sense that he's so, you know, he fully embodies it so well, and you really, you know, you believe him in every moment there, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I think he I just read yesterday that he said he used steroids to like you
did
know,
he really
he said something like, well, you know, when you got to prep for the industry, you prep for you
wow
know, you do a when in Rome type thing.
Yeah, that's a little extreme, but hey, you know, the guy threw himself into it, and God bless him. So yeah, I think there were a little, you know, occasional flaws. The Evan Rachel Wood character was really, I think, kind of underwritten and really predictable, sort of the arc that he goes through in trying to relate to her. And a lot of the other story beats are familiar, but I did like the way that the movie ended. And I don't want to say too much, but it's kind of an ambiguous ending that doesn't give you too much of a neat resolution. So,
but you already know the beauty of that ending is whether you come to whatever conclusion from that ending, you know where his life's going to take him after that. And I also think that one of the things I liked is there's certain points in time where he's trying to get out of the wrestling industry. And, you know, he has those moments where it's like, you know, can I make a normal life for myself?
And, he really can.
He can. And, and it comes back. You know, it comes back to him. And this is kind of like, well, this is who I am. This is who I've always been. And, mm-hmm. and this is where it's going to be for me type thing. And I think they did a good job with that.
Yeah, definitely. To see like how it's sort of inevitable the way his life goes. So. Yeah, so I like this movie. I give this 3.5 stars out of 5 in the weekly. And I think you probably liked it a little more than I did.
Yeah, I really did like it. So out of 5 power bombs through a wooden table, I would have to give it 4.5 power bombs through a wooden table. It was really good.
I agree. It was definitely good. Definitely check that out. I think it's only playing over at the Suncoast this week, but hopefully if he gets an Oscar nomination, it'll expand a bit and people will get a chance
to see
it.
He's getting an Oscar nomination. And also... best song, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, right. Springsteen. The two things to know about Jason. From Jersey, love Springsteen. There you go. That's all you need to know.
Hopefully there's a little more to know about me. But I do love Bruce Springsteen. And I actually think that song is really, really good. It's, you know, pretty simple and, you know, just kind of, you know, knocks it out of the park again. I've said that. So, you know, as far as like what the character
it encapsulates
is,
the movie.
Is, you know, it's like it's kind of nice and, you know, not too verbose, just straight in there.
Right, definitely.
Go Bruce Springsteen.
Go Bruce Springsteen, absolutely. So moving on to another movie that's probably going to get at least a few Oscar nominations, Revolutionary Road, which is also only opening at one theater this week. It's playing only at the Village Square, although I think it's expanding next week. And this is a movie I know that you really liked and I was a little less enthused about. It's Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio, who are, of course, you know, at the top of the acting game, I guess you would say. And they play a couple in 1950s suburbia who are sort of unhappy with their lives and trying to get back to the vision that they had for how their adult lives would go back when they were, you know, young and optimistic and whatever. And it's really a sort of crushingly depressing movie about what happens to people when they grow up and when they get married and have kids and give up their dreams. And I think it's a little crushingly familiar as well, and which is almost unfair to say because it's based on a novel that came out in 1962, which probably did a lot of these things before a lot of the TV shows and movies that we're familiar with, including American Beauty, which is by the same director,
right,
Sam Mendes. But at the same time, it felt very familiar to me. And I think that one of the things that Mendes does in not just this movie, but in other movies that he's made like Jarhead, is that it's so composed and sort of stately that it puts you at a remove from the characters who are very, you know, there's a lot of really heated emotional speeches going on in this movie. And a lot of times I felt like I didn't connect to it. But at the same time, I thought it had a lot going for it. So I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on it, but I know you liked it a lot.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those movies. Sometimes you go into movies and you say, you know, it had all the pieces, but as a whole, the components didn't work for
right,
me.
Right, right.
And you know, you like it, but you don't love it. And mm-hmm. and for a while, I was like kind of on that fence. But I think the third act. Really just not was just great. I didn't want to say, I don't know why I keep saying that.
It's okay.
Really knocked on wood.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what that means. But no, it really came together for me. And I think what did it for me more than anything is, you know, I have a background as an actor and everything. And the acting, both of them are really strong. But Kate Winslet gave, mm-hmm. like, I can't remember a performance by a lead actress recently that I thought was as effective, and just she's unbelievably good in that movie. And,
yeah.
And Leo is great in the movie, but you know, he always gets nominated in years that he's never going to win.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. So, and he certainly won't up against Mickey Rourke and Sean Penn. Yeah.
I personally thought he should have won for Aviator.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah. Aviator. He was great in Aviator.
But
yeah.
this is really Kate Winslet's movie. And I, Mendes has a very distinct style and he does it well. And this is kind of like, I guess, you know, American Nightmare. If the American Beauty was American Beauty, then, you know, but it's really not a movie that if you're thinking about moving to the suburbs with your newlywed, you need to go see.
No, or maybe you do need to go see to break it out of your thoughts.
There's some interesting stuff in there besides that, though. You know, Kathy Bates plays the realtor, you know, who supposedly lives like, you know, the picturesque lifestyle. Then she has a son who's in the mental institution who comes over and really just kind of throws a wrench into the...
Yeah, that character, I mean, that actor, Michael Shannon, who's very good at playing crazy people, has gotten a lot of acclaim for this movie. And I felt like that character was like the worst sort of plot device, where he's like the crazy person who doesn't have a filter and he tells them all the truths about their lives that they're not willing to face. And I just think that character is kind of bull. And like, he's a fine actor, but he seemed like he was just pulling out all the like obvious, you know, beats on that kind of character. So
yeah.
I felt things like that were a little tired, where again, maybe in a novel that came out, you know, 45 years ago, they were a lot fresher, but now they seemed a little, I don't know, just a little familiar.
Yeah, you might be right. I mean, you know, the whole idea that she wanted to be an actress and, you know, and then, you know, they meet each other and there's an immediate like connection and, you know, they're really going to go take on life together. And then when they kind of try to go, they come up with a plan to kind of put spontaneity back into their lives and really live life. And it doesn't work out, obviously. So
no, it very much does not work out. I don't think that's a spoiler.
But I don't know. I think what it is for me, this movie, you know, writing wise, it was good, you know, maybe not the best thing ever. Yeah. Directing-wise, he's a really good director. But the acting obviously carried the movie for me, and I think that's what did it for me. And especially Kate Winslet does some stuff silently, you know, mm-hmm. which I really, really love. I don't, you know, you just get some reaction shots and just things. Even if you know where it's going at the end, you know, it's just it's a slow boil type thing, So it's good. I liked it.
I liked it enough too, but I just little things like, you know, kind of eat away at me. And I think going back to like the performances, which were very good, but I felt sometimes like they were almost occurring in a vacuum, that they don't connect to each other so much, and the movie almost strands them in these like monologue-y moments where you can watch Kate Winslet and you're like, wow, Kate Winslet is really selling this character, but I don't necessarily buy the character as a piece of a whole work. I don't know if that makes sense, but
I mean, I didn't get that. I thought they were really, the two of them at least were connected, but if anything, the idea of how far apart they've grown, you know, I thought maybe that played something to it, but
maybe, I don't know. I just felt like it was kind of back and forth. Their relationship didn't seem to me to have the cohesiveness that I could buy into.
Well, one thing that's interesting is two plays that have been turned into movies this past year were Doubt and Frost Nixon. And when I was watching them, I thought to myself, these aren't great movies, but they were probably great plays.
Yeah, I can feel that way too.
Right.
Yeah.
With this one, I thought, like, I mean, I personally thought it was a great movie, but yeah. I could see it actually being a great play as well.
Right,
you know,
right.
If it's just a small,
yeah, a small thing, movie. And it would be just about the two people interacting. I could see that too. And I'm sure neither of us have read the novel, but it has a reputation as being really excellent. And I felt like I could imagine how the novel, where you get a lot of more of their internal lives and their thoughts, could be better.
Who wrote the book?
Richard Yates.
I heard he knocked it out of the park.
Thank you for that. On that note, let's move on to our – I give it 3 stars out of 5 would be my rating.
I would say out of five hand lawn mowers, you know,
yeah.
Since we are in the suburbs,
sure.
You can mow your lawn by hand. You know, I really liked it.
Right.
And I gave it 5 on the last the wrestler review was out of 5. So I'm going to go up to 7 hand lawn mowers. And I'm going to give it 6 hand lawn mowers.
All right. So yeah. 2 very strong recommendations
from
Jason. Yeah.
No, actually, to be honest with you, both of those movies that we just talked about were 2 of my 5 favorites this past
year.
Yeah,
yeah. So. I wouldn't put that. The wrestler, I think, was close. Definitely. I like that one a lot. And so on a completely different note.
Talking about Oscars.
Yes, exactly. Talking about the Oscar movies and really best actor nominations.
Yes.
I think we cannot – you know, talk about that without mentioning Kevin James as Paul Blart Mall Cop, which is also opening this week. And the wrestler, 1 theater. Revolutionary Road, 1 theater. Paul Blart Mall Cop, anywhere in town you want to go, you can see Paul Blart Mall Cop.
And you could probably ask for it as the way I like to call it, which is just Blart, 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 Blart.
Yes.
Because that's pretty much, you know, Blart.
That's all you got. So, right. So I'll describe the plot wherein Kevin
quote,
James
unquote.
Plays – Paul Blart.
Who is a mall cop.
Exactly. And he's fat.
Very fat.
And lonely.
Very lonely.
And in love with this ridiculously hot, completely unattainable, and probably a good 15 years younger than him, kiosk worker in the mall.
I like his style.
And there you go. It's something for all of us to aspire to. And so it's sort of about him being pathetic for like half the movie, and then randomly there's like a big robbery that takes over the whole mall, and it becomes like this really crappy Die Hard ripoff. And they don't even make jokes half the time, I think. It's all about Paul Blart trying to save the day, and this is just awful. I think as bad as you would imagine a movie called Paul Blart Mall Cop starring Kevin James to be, it was worse.
This is we just talked about Revolutionary Road, and a big chunk of Revolutionary Road has to deal with a potential abortion.
Right.
This film was an abortion. Like, I don't know what happened here, but it just seems like chunks of badness all thrown together,
yes,
you know, that never made a movie, baby. You know,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know if that makes any
no,
sense.
No, that's kind of gross, but
it's pretty crass.
It is pretty awful. Yeah, I mean, and Kevin James is sort of to me like the definition of mediocre. But I don't think I've ever like hated anything he's done. Like the King of Queens is a very bland sort of by the number sitcom, but you could sit there and watch it for 20 minutes and not really think one thing or another. But this I just really found actively annoying.
Well, I wonder, and this is – I just thought of this. You know, King of Queens, fine, whatever. You got Leah Remini. You got Jerry Stiller. You
yeah,
know, you got
yeah.
a good supporting cast. Like, I know you didn't like – I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
No, but it was
know.
Much better than this.
Right.
Definitely.
I didn't love it, but, you know, obviously he had Adam Sandler there and everything.
Yeah.
This is the first movie he – or thing that we've seen that he really had to carry on
true,
his own.
True,
and maybe he just – maybe – poor Kevin has too much weight to carry
yes.
on his own. So.
I think that's true. I definitely think that's true. Yeah, it would have been nice to see like a nice sidekick character of some kind or some other funny guy. But the acting – and besides from Kevin James, the acting in this movie is flat out horrible like all around. Everyone does a poor job in this movie. The villain of the piece who ends up robbing the mall is so over the top awful. It's just painful to watch.
I also thought they really gave the daughter like speeches that a little like 11-year-old would never say. Like,
right.
I don't want to see you alone, Dad. I just want to see you happy. And it's like, really? What 11-year-olds? But I would agree that the lead villain was really, really, really like it was like, you know, you could have thrown him anything and he would have gone like crazy with it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You didn't lock the door. You know, it's like really?
That's a very good impression of his performance, actually.
But it was just so completely I don't know. Nothing worked in there. And
no,
we sat
no.
there in the screening last night and it allegedly is a comedy. And I said to Josh right after the movie, did you notice there were large chunks where no
right,
one
no
laughed?
One's laughing. And even very undemanding audiences who go to free movie screenings and will usually laugh at anything. Yeah, it did seem like it was very weak in the joke department. It's just all fat jokes and people falling over and running into things. Just the easiest, yeah. most
I mean,
base
did,
kind of
he
humor.
He did get really fat again, I'm going
to
say.
He did
that,
get really fat. And, you know, I suppose to his credit, he's willing to make fun of himself for being really fat, yeah. but I don't really know if that's to his credit.
It just, to me, the whole thing was like, I mean, I don't know. You know, I love, like, kind of good, like, what would you call that? Like, it's not
slapsticky.
Really slapsticky.
I mean,
though.
Some of it is just like lowbrow comedy.
Yeah, like sophomoric, whatever
right,
you want to
sure.
call it. Dude comedy.
There you go.
Like, I like, you know, classic Adam Sandler,
yes.
Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, stuff like that. Any, like, Anchorman, I guess you could say, is a little more out there. And
right.
Stuff like
and
that.
I love Anchorman.
Right.
I do.
But this one, it's just not funny.
No,
man.
Not at all.
It's just really just not funny.
And not clever. I mean, something like Anchorman, you could say it's funny, you could say it's not funny, but you can't say they're not, like, throwing everything out there that they can possibly come up with.
Well, yeah, they took a lot of, like, yeah, if nothing else, they take chances.
Right, and this movie has no chances
yeah.
taken anywhere and, whatsoever.
And, I mean, just from a structural standpoint, it's like, you know, you're just saying, really, you know, this is what it is. Like, you know, it's paint by numbers and awful. But one thing we didn't talk about, which I really think we need to,
okay.
is the group of villains are all like extreme sport.
Oh, right.
People.
Which makes no
yeah.
sense whatsoever.
So they're not running through a mall. They're like skateboarding down escalators.
BMX
and, you know,
biking.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Into like elevators that are going up. And it's
right.
like, why did you hire the Cirque du Soleil to, you know,
yeah.
be your, you know, your bank robbing crew?
No,
or,
it makes,
you know,
no
whatever.
Sense. And there's one part where there's like a fixture in the mall or something that happens to be shaped just like a BMX ramp. So the guy can do a big jump off of it.
Well, and the whole thing is like there's no need for it. Like, it's not like, hey, we're gonna get this group, like in Ocean's 11, right? They had the Chinese gymnast,
right?
Because
so he can fit in the little box,
right?
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yes.
This is just like, hey, I can ride a bike, you know?
Yeah, really nothing. There's no call for anything in this movie. There's no call for this movie at all.
And there is a shocking twist ending, shall
oh,
we
right,
say?
That's true. There was a shocking
that
twist ending.
That comes out of nowhere, and it's like, why?
And it doesn't add anything to the
no,
story.
No, it's just it gives one other character a chance to say one line.
Right,
and, you know,
right.
There's one guy from The Wire who plays a judge on The Wire who I thought was like semi-funny in a little tiny comic relief. But you know, and it's got, you know, Adam Ferrara, who is on The Job with Dennis Leary, good comedian. And
yeah, he's fine.
Bobby Cannavale from The Station Agent, who
yeah.
I always think was pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, some decent actors, and so, but they don't have anything.
There's nothing.
No.
It's really bad.
It is really bad, and I'm glad we spent possibly at least as much time talking about this as the really good movies opening this
Could
week.
Could I just add? Something?
Please, go ahead.
Blart!
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You've just blown out the ears of our audience.
I just, you know, if your name is Blart.
Right.
You know,
so, maybe one star for this? I don't think you would even give it that.
No. He rides a Segway the whole time.
Yes, he does.
So,
it's like a big commercial for Segways.
Yeah, out of 10... Segway Paul Blart Mall Cop Segways, 10 being the worst.
Oh, okay. You're mixing
one being
it up.
The best. Yeah.
yeah.
Reverse Paul Blart Segways.
Uh-huh.
10.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right. really bad.
It is really
it's
bad.
It's really, like, I don't see anything in there that, like, almost in, like, I was actually glad we went to see it because I knew we were talking about The Wrestler and Revolutionary Road.
Right.
With movies that I loved, and I kind of wasn't going to go in saying, like, oh, I want to hate this, but they didn't really make it difficult for
no,
me to
No, it's
hate,
very easy know? To hate. Yeah. It's definitely very easy to hate, so don't see that. couple other things opening this week that you haven't seen. One is Last Chance Harvey with Dustin Hoffman and Emma Thompson. That was actually nominated for a couple of Golden Globes for no apparent reason other than they seem to have no comedy things to nominate.
And because it's Dustin Hoffman and Emma
yeah,
Thompson.
But and Dustin Hoffman, I don't know. I think he's not quite in Al Pacino, Robert De Niro territory yet, but I think he's getting there with the sort of like coasting through these lame late career performances. And he's at least slightly less hammy than he was in like Mr. McGorry. Wonder Emporium here, but he and Emma Thompson fall in love, and I mean that's really all you need to know about it, but it's very boring. And I think one of the things that sort of bugs me about this movie is that a lot of the positive reviews, and it's actually gotten quite a lot of positive reviews, focus on the idea that, like, oh, it's so nice to see older actors in these roles. And, you know, you always see, like in Paul Blart, it's ridiculous, Kevin James, and, you know, falls in love with this hot young woman or whatever. But here, Dustin Hoffman is 70 years old. He's more than 20 years older than Emma Thompson still, even though she's like 49. And it just struck me as sort of creepy. He seemed more like her father than her potential boyfriend. And it's just very dull. It goes through all the predictable romantic comedy stuff, but you don't get any – it tries to be classy, so you don't get any zany comedy and just ends up being very boring. So don't see that one. I give that one 2 stars. And if you're going to see some crap this weekend, the best crap to see is probably My Bloody Valentine in 3D, which is – a remake of a 1981 horror movie and is exactly as stupidly cheesy and gory and whatnot as you would expect a horror remake to be, but at least has a sense of fun about it, has some nifty uses of 3D. Definitely see it in 3D if you're going to see it rather than in 2D because there's really no point. And as I know Jason was asking me about, there is 3D nudity in the movie.
I've never seen 3D nudity, and I thought it was a fair question. I always wished that there would have been some in Captain EO from the Epcot Center movie.
You want to see 3D Michael Jackson nudity?
No, just maybe the little creature. I don't know what you're talking about either. Lart.
But no, My Bloody Valentine, if you're a horror fan and you like kind of schlocky horror, it's actually a little bit of fun. Otherwise, it's not really worthwhile. I definitely see The Wrestler. That's the one I think to check out this weekend.
But not in 3D.
Unfortunately, it might have been cool in 3D.
Yeah, you could see the Ram Jam. His finishing.
Yeah, he might come right out at you. Yeah. So check that out. And yeah, that'll do it. Thanks to Jason Harris for joining me this week.
I had fun, and as always, go see Paul Blart Mall Cop, number one movie of all time.
Don't see that, but check out Jason January 29th at the Firefly. And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell, and tune in next week.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.